Embrace the Word for Friday, June 12, 2026. Embracing Psalm 76. Psalm 76 is a celebration in response to the triumph of victory. The superscription for this Psalm of Asaph does not offer any historical context. To the choirmaster with stringed instruments, a Psalm of Asaph, a song. Similar in focus to Psalm 46 and Psalm 48, Psalm 76 celebrates the victory that the Lord has achieved for His people, coupled with His arrival in Jerusalem. There are several common links between Psalm 76 and Psalm 75. Both Psalms refer to God's name, 75:1, 76:1, and speak of the God of Jacob, 75:9, 76:6, whereas Psalm 75 speaks of God judging all the wicked of the earth, 75:8. Psalm 76 says that God will save all the humble of the earth, 76:9. While Book 3 has a weighted focus on the destruction of the temple and the fall of Jerusalem, some of the Psalms in this section of the Psalter, like Psalm 76, point to a future for Jerusalem. Psalm 76 begins with a declaration that God is known in Israel, 76:1-3, and concludes with a directive for not only Israel, but for all the nations to worship the Lord, 76:11-12. In between the opening and closing of Psalm 76, the Lord is described as a mighty warrior, 76:4-6, and a terrifying judge, 76:7-10. Psalm 76 opens with a strong assertion of God's presence among His people. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. His abode has been established in Salem, His dwelling place in Zion, 76:1-2. This assertion starts with a recognition concerning the nation itself as a whole. God promised to dwell among His people, and the reality of this promise is affirmed, for He will be known or experienced in such a fashion that His greatness will be fully seen. The assertion of the Lord's presence is also expressed with a more narrow focus. The Lord will once again make His home in Jerusalem, Salem, and He will once again take up His residence in Zion. The point that Asaph is making about Jerusalem in Israel is forward-looking. The Lord has dwelt among His people as He resided in Jerusalem, and the Lord will once again dwell among His people when He returns to Jerusalem. Psalms 74 through 76 form something of a trilogy, as the first movement was that of lament over the destruction of the temple, along with the fall of Jerusalem. See Psalm 74. The second movement declares the promise of judgment upon the wicked. See Psalm 75. The third movement pertains to the ultimate fulfillment of the Lord's judgment. See Psalm 76. This grand outcome will be peace and protection for the city of His people. There He broke the flashing arrows, the shield, the sword, and the weapons of war. Selah, 76:3. It is not simply that the Lord will bring to an end all weapons of war, but that He will bring war or warfare itself to an end through a decisive and conclusive victory. He shall judge between nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. See Isaiah 2:4. In describing the victorious return of the presence of the Lord to Jerusalem, Asaph restates the matter by directly addressing the Lord. Glorious are you, more majestic than the mountains full of prey. 76:4. Asaph says to the Lord that he will be radiantly glorious when he returns. The idea behind the notion of glorious is something like bright, shining brilliance. Like Moses proclaimed after the Israelites safely crossed the Red Sea that destroyed Pharaoh and his army, the radiant glory of God will be displayed through his mighty acts on behalf of his people. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? See Exodus 15:11. The displays of God's glory will be more glorious than a mountainside full of wild prey. There will not be anything more glorious than the Lord when he returns. That's when the mighty acts displaying the glory of God will involve the destruction of the enemy. The stout-hearted were stripped of their spoil. They sank into sleep. All the men of war were unable to use their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both rider and horse lay stunned. 76:5-6. The greatest and bravest of warriors will be utterly slain. The imagery even hints that it will simply be the mere voice of the Lord that will slay the warrior and war horse alike. The Lord had done this with Pharaoh's army and horses. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. See Exodus 15:1. John the Apostle tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the weapon he will use pertains to his voice. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. See Revelation 19:15. Continuing to speak to the Lord, Asaph shifts from the imagery of the Lord as a warrior who defeats his enemies to a judge who serves justice to them. But you are to be feared. Who can stand before you when once your anger is roused? From the heavens you utter judgment. The earth feared and was still when God arose to establish judgment, to save all the humble of the earth. Selah. 76:7-9. Asaph acknowledges that the Lord's terrifying justice will be inescapable, quite emphatically, by the use of "but you," in reference to the Lord. Asaph declared that the reality of God's just judgment is a matter to be greatly feared. Asaph frames the matter rhetorically. Who can stand before you once your anger is roused? The point is that no one will stand before the holy fury of God. There will be complete silence. Speaking similarly of God's judgment, the Apostle Paul would say, every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. See Romans 3:19. When the wicked are judged, it will be a moment of sweet deliverance for the Lord's people, the very ones whom the wicked have afflicted. It is as though the statements of Psalms 76:4-9 are the answer to Asaph's prayer while describing the trouble that the wicked created. Arise, O God, defend your cause. Remember how the foolish scoff at you all the day. Do not forget the clamor of your foes, the uproar of those who rise against you, which goes up continually. See Psalm 74:22-23. As the Lord rises to defeat the judge and judge the wicked, the Lord's people will see their final deliverance. And when the Lord's judgment is issued, the praise of God will resound. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. The remnant of wrath you will put on like a belt. 74:10. All of God's judgments will redound to his praise. The Lord will return to Jerusalem to be with his people. For this to happen, the Lord will defeat his enemies and issue their final sentence of judgment. As Asaph recounts these precious and sure realities, he issues a call for the Lord's people to live in light of what the Lord will do. Asaph ends his call by not merely speaking to Israel, but also calling upon all the kings of the earth to fear the Lord. Make your vows to the Lord your God and perform them. Let all around him bring gifts to him who is to be feared, who cuts off the spirits of princes, who is to be feared by the kings of the earth. 76:11-12. The promise of victory calls for an immediate response. The Lord's people were called to live in loyal worship, even as they watch and wait for him to unleash his mighty acts. And for all who do not acknowledge the Lord, Asaph gives this warning. God can and will do to every king's army and war machinery what he did to Pharaoh. Therefore, if kings have any wisdom at all, they will fear the Lord. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. See Psalm 2:10-12. As we reflect on Psalm 76, we can consider the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Followers of Christ are called to live in light of the certainty of the Lord's return. The future return of Christ is to shape our present way of life. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. See 1 Peter 2:12. Believers live before the Lord, but also before a world who watches. While the language of making and performing vows is not the language of the new covenant, certainly the calling to live in loyal worship of Jesus is. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. See 1 Peter 4:7-11. Yet those who do not follow Christ, their present refusal to acknowledge him will not always be the case. Properly fearing God at present is the pathway through which redemption travels. For the moment will come when acknowledging Christ and fearing God will not spell salvation and redemption, but condemnation and ruin. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. See Philippians 2:9-11. That's all for Embrace the Word for Friday, June 12, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Monday, June 15, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 77.